Weird stuff. We've been talking about weird for the last 5 weeks. This is our sixth and final week of the series. We'll start something new and fresh beginning next week. Actually, you're in for a really cool thing next week, so I'm going to leave it as a surprise. You guys got to come to find out what we're going to be talking about next week. But we're going to finish up, wrap up this series on weird because normal is not working, and we're talking about relationships today. And I'm kind of looking around. I think we're in good shape. Towards the end, I'm going to be a little bit PG. So if you do have a child in here with you, I'm not going to be over the top. You don't have to worry about that. But I am going to talk about a little bit about marriage towards the end. And so I'm just going to be a little bit more open. So if you do have a kid, just kind of give you that heads up as we get started. But look in your notes there. And that first couple of lines, we've said those for several weeks now. And this is the last chance, at least for a little while, that we're going to get to say it. So we're going to go ahead and maybe just let's say this together. Let's say that if you want what normal people have, let's try that. If you want what normal people have, do what normal people do. And if you want what few people have, right, do what few people do. And you got to get weird. And again, you know, just kind of helping make sure that everybody's on the same page. You know, I've had so many emails in the last few weeks of people saying, well, serving God is not weird, Pastor Brian. And absolutely right. It's not weird to us as Christians, but to the world, it's weird. I mean, when we look and we could do some comparisons, we did a little bit of that last week. We just made some comparisons about the world's view versus God's view. And Christians, we're weird, you know, but I'm glad I'm weird. I'm glad that I'm not on the wrong team. You know, I'm glad I'm serving a God that cares for me and loves me and gives me grace and has mercy for me. But at the same time, serving him sometimes is a sacrifice. And sometimes there's some things involved that other people would think are weird, but I'm glad that I'm a little bit weird. So we're going to talk about relationships. I found this quote by C.S. Lewis, and it just kind of jumped out at me. It says, friendship is born at that moment when one person says to another, what? You too? I thought I was the only one. I love that quote because it's so true. Usually, the best friendships are formed around a common ground. Something that we share in common, something that makes sense to both of us. And that's usually how friendships are started. And that's friendships in every walk of life. Whether you're married, hopefully you're married to your friend. If you're not, I mean, that's rough, you know. Every day I'm thankful for my best friend. I'm thankful that I get to do life and spend life with my very best friend. And so in every walk of life, relationships are usually based on friendship. Now, obviously, there's some relationships that we're kind of more forced into, and we don't necessarily always have the greatest time in those relationships. Maybe coworkers, or if you're, you know, in a situation where you're working with kind of contractors or something of that nature, then you know, maybe you're in relationships that you wish you weren't in. But pray about those relationships. Maybe God has more for you if you're willing to be weird. And so before we go in through the rest of your notes, though, after I printed them and kind of, you know, was going back through my notes, I just said, you know, man, there's something missing. And I'm going to add something there. If you want to jot down some notes somewhere on the side, you can. But it's not in your notes. But I want to talk to you about this idea about tending your own garden. Tending your own garden. And the reality is it's not. Okay, I did put it up there. I didn't think I put it in the slide. So it is up there. So this idea about tending your own garden. When we're talking about relationships, you got to realize that in order for a relationship to work, you got to cultivate it. You got to work at it. You can't just say, well, I'm your friend, and then you never call and you never communicate. You don't ever do anything together. That's not a friendship. It's an acquaintance, certainly. But if you want a relationship to kind of come out and develop and bloom and be an amazing relationship, you got to cultivate it. And you got to tend your own garden because nobody's going to do it for you. And a lot of times, we are so quick to just, you know, call people our friends, but the reality is if we truly have friends, then they're going to be there through thick and thin, and we're going to be there for them as well. And a friendship is a little bit more than just saying, well, you know, yeah, I went to school with him. You know, how many of you even talk to the people you went to high school with? Let me see a quick raise of hands. You still even talk to them? Okay, look around real quick. Just keep your hands up and look around. There's like 10 of you. I don't talk to anyone that I went to high school with. As a youth pastor, I would tell our students all the time, they're so worried, high school students are so worried about having the right friend and about making the great relationship, and to the point that they're willing to kind of sacrifice their standards and their morals to fit in. And I would tell them all the time, like, guys, most of you won't even know the people that you went to high school with when you graduate, when you move out, when you go to college. You're not even going to have those relationships. But yet they are so ready to just compromise everything to make sure that they fit in and to make sure that they were liked. And so I want to challenge you. Think about your relationships. Think about which relationships in your life are actually important, which ones you actually want to work on and cultivate. And if you can look in your life and you could say, well, I've got some relationships that we haven't cultivated very much, and there's a lot of weeds growing in that garden. There's a lot of things going on in that garden that maybe you either go full bore and get to tend in that garden and pull the weeds and do what you need to, or maybe you say, I need to cut that relationship off. And we're going to talk about that a little bit today. But let's look at Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 10. Again, it's not in your notes. I think it's going to come up here on the screen. It says, don't be misled. No one makes a fool of God. What a person plants, he will harvest. The person who plants selfishness, ignoring the needs of others, ignoring God, harvests a crop of weeds. And he'll have to show for his life, all he'll have to show for his life is weeds. But the one who plants in response to God, letting God's Spirit do the growth work in him, harvests a crop of real life, eternal life. And I'll go to the next part in just a second. But look there in your notes. It talks about what a person plants, he or she will harvest. And so in your life, if you are not planting good things into the garden of your relationships, you're not going to get good things back. And a lot of people, that's what we want. You know, we don't want to do very much work, but we want a lot of return. And God challenges that in our lives. He says, look, if you want good things to come out of relationships, including your relationship with God, then you've got to do some work to cultivate your garden. You've got to prepare the soil that things can grow in. Another verse in the New Testament, Jesus was given a parable talking about the sower that went out to sow, and he threw seed. And as he threw the seed, he wasn't very cautious about where he threw his seed. He threw it, just kind of scattered his seed. And the Bible says that he threw some in good soil, some into rocky soil, and some that had weeds in it. And the soil with weeds grew up and choked it out. Now that sounds like a bad friend, doesn't it? It's a bad influence. We know that we can't hang out with bad influences because they'll corrupt us. And so we throw seed out into the soil with weeds, and what happens? It gets choked out. Maybe you throw in your seeds into some rocky soil, someone who's got a hard heart, someone who's not really willing to even try to follow God. Their heart's hardened to that. And you're just throwing seed, and guess what? It's never going to grow. So the idea, if you're here today, and I'm going to step on some toes, but I'm just doing it, so just bear with that. But you know, if you're evangelism dating, if you're dating someone and they're not saved and they're not following the same values and they're not going after the same things as you, it's like throwing your seed into rocky soil because it's not going to germinate. It's not going to grow. Nothing's going to change there. Whatever the relationship looks like now, more than likely that's what it's going to look like after you get married. And so you have to be careful about what you're doing. And my brother-in-law's in the back smiling at me because he's one of those rare, you know, people that actually the seeds germinated. Hallelujah. Thank God, you know, that happened. But most of the time, we do not win people who are not like us. We don't change people. And I look at your spouse and say, I'm just done trying changing you. Come on. Some of you are like, I'm not going to say that. I'm not done. I'm not giving up. But Jacqueline and I have learned about each other. We're not going to change each other. We can pray for each other. We can encourage each other. But what is there, the personalities that we were born with, that's who we are. And we're not going to change. And so you have to be careful where you're planting your seed, right? And so God says, be careful what you plant, you will reap. Let's look at the rest of that verse. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we do not give up or quit. Right now, therefore, every time we get the chance, let us work for the benefit of all, starting with the people close to us, closest to us in the community of faith. So God says, look, it's going to be hard work. To have great relationships, it's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort. You're going to have to put in some diligent work in order to get good results. But if you're willing to do that at the right time, you're going to reap a great harvest. And if you think about in your life, the people who you've invested the most in, even if they've let you down, more than likely, at some point, they've also been there for you, and they've given you the greatest return on your investment of friendship. And so the idea here is that we have to tend our own garden. And it brings up one of the funniest stories of my life. I was in college. I was, I was a sophomore in college, and I had a buddy who had just gotten married, and I've always hung out with older people, so I was hanging out with them all the time, and they were kind of struggling, first year of marriage, trying to struggle to make ends meet. And so he got this harebrained scheme. He's like, you know what? I'm going to plant a garden. And he looked at me, and we were fishing buddies. And so he came to me and said, I know, you know, we've been spending a lot of time fishing. He said, I need to spend a little less time fishing. And he said, I'm going to plant a garden. And I'm like, a garden? Really? I was like, what do you know about gardening? He says, oh, man. He said, my dad was a gardener back in the day. He said, we've always grown something. He said, it's not too hard. And he said, how would you like to help me? And I said, all right, well, what's in it for me? He said, well, you get all the fresh fruits and stuff that you want, fresh vegetables that you want. You know, and he said, we can do this instead of fishing sometimes. And I was like, well, that doesn't sound too good, but, you know, I'll hang out with you, so we'll make up for it, right? And so we started to go plant a garden. And, you know, I just had envisioned that we would, you know, make a little plot of ground out behind his house and, you know, make a little garden. And so, you know, I walked over to his house and thought I would help him. So we got out there and he said, jump in the truck. I said, where are we going? He said, we're going to the garden. I said, well, where's the garden? He said, it's out at the Hyde brothers' house. And the Hyde brothers were two guys who never got married, and they have this huge piece of property, and they are a country as the day is long. I mean, they are, you know, when you think of the word redneck, their picture is in the dictionary, you know? And so I was thinking, okay, well, last time I was out at their house, the whole yard was nothing but weeds, you know? And so I was like, well, let's go see what this is going to be about. So we got there, and apparently he had asked them to make an area where we could garden, and they made one. It's the size of a football field. It was humongous. And I'm looking at this thing, and I'm thinking, wow, we can plant anything you want out here. I mean, we can have some vegetables, you know. And so we were just dumb college kids, and we looked at each other, and we're like, well, let's get going. So we started planting seeds, and we planted for hours. Planted seeds and just all kinds of different stuff. And we were making rows. I mean, it was organized. We had little signs for, you know, everything that it was. It was awesome. It was like Rabbit's Garden, you know. And so we planted and we watered that day. And he told me, he said, now we're going to have to go out there like two or three times a week. And I was like, why do we have to go out there so much? You know, I mean, just let the sun do its thing. Let the rain do its thing. He said, no, we got to keep it weeded. And I was like, okay, well, you know, that's cool. We'll do that. Listen, if you've never gardened, don't ever do it. Don't ever do it. I mean, I don't know about you, but, you know, when you think about what it means to weed, you think about, you know, in your flower beds, I mean, they grow like, you know, there's a few weeds, and you got to pull them out, and you just got to kind of stay on top of it. We went, and we were gone 1 week. We went back in 1 week, and it looked like there was never a time that there was just dirt. It was weeds. The entire thing was covered in weeds. And so we were out there, and we were pulling weeds and for hours and hours. The sun went down, and they put lights out on the field so we could keep pulling weeds. I looked at Eddie. This was one time. I said, I'm not doing this anymore, man. I said, you're crazy. And so he said, come on, man. You got to help me. We got to do this. And so we lasted about 3 weeks until we just let it grow over. And I think we got about 4 tomatoes out of that garden. It was horrible. It was horrible. But I learned a lesson in that experience. You got to tend your garden. You got to stay on top of it, because if you don't, things will grow that you don't want there. And if you're not constantly working on your relationships, if you're not constantly keeping your eyes and being vigilant about what's happening in your relationships, things will grow in those relationships that you don't want there. And so God's word challenges us to be diligent, work hard, plant a good crop, and then take care of that crop so that in good time we will reap a harvest. So let's look into your notes now. This is in your notes. Accidentally on purpose, right? Great relationships don't happen accidentally. They happen on purpose. I wish it was accidental. I wish you could just fall into great relationships. But you got to work at them. You got to make sure that you're investing time. And so we're going to look at 5 things that we've got to do to have great relationships in our lives. And the first one is get transparent. Get transparent. In order to have great relationships, you've just got to be open and honest. You've got to be who you are and not try to put up a facade. So many times, you know, especially I remember dating. Guys, a lot of us do this. We like put on our best behavior. You know, we like do all these extra things that, you know, in our hearts, in the moment, maybe, you know, at least for some of us, we think, well, man, I'm going to be the guy that breaks the mold. I'm going to do all the good things for my girlfriend and eventually for my wife. I'm going to be the one that always opens the door. I'm going to be the one that does this. And we do that when we're dating. because we want to impress the girl. You know, we're like, we make sure we go out of our way. Every time we show up, we've got flowers and, you know, we got chocolates and we're just going out of our way to impress the one that we love. And then a lot of times as we get into a marriage, it's not that we love them any less, but we get busy and we stop making that the priority. And can I tell you that that's a bad idea? And the reality is that we need to be more honest and open about the things that the places that we struggle. If you're struggling today in a relationship to be open and honest, it's not going to give you good results. It's not going to help you in that relationship. You got to learn to be transparent and do the hard work up front. Being transparent means that you're willing to share what's going on inside. As a guy, that's hard to do. Jacqueline will come in the house and say, "Well, what's going on?" "I don't know." That's like my normal answer. "I don't know." She says, no, something's going on. "What's going on?" "I don't know. I don't know what's going on." You know, that's the typical answer that I give because it's hard for me to really pinpoint what is actually going on. What is the thing that's driving me nuts at that moment? And so for a lot of us guys particularly, we have a hard time with that idea of being transparent or being accountable, being open. But the Bible tells us that if we will get transparent with each other, our lives will actually be better. Proverbs 17:27, it says, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another." Our relationships, God has designed us so that as we spend time with each other, we almost act like sandpaper towards each other. And we work on each other, and we grind away rough edges that are in our lives that sometimes we don't even know they're there. Sometimes God brings people into our lives simply because there's a part or an area of our life that needs some specific work. And so God sends that person in our life that can just be kind of a little bit of a sandpaper to us. And that doesn't mean that they rub us wrong. It means that they rub us right. And God knows exactly what we need. And so he brings people into our life that will act as kind of a fine sandpaper to just work off that rough edge. And so as we get accountable, as we open up to people and we're transparent with our feelings and our needs and all of those things, then people can begin to help us work through those. Look at that next verse, Galatians 6:2. It says, "Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ." If we don't share what's going on in our hearts, then no one can carry it with us. And the reality is we were never meant to do life alone. We were never meant to try to carry all of the burdens and the hardships of our life all by ourselves, but so many of us are guilty of that. So many of us just want to keep it all to ourselves, and we don't want to let anyone in, and we think, "Well, man, if somebody found out about my sin." We all feel that way. That's not just your deal. That's all of us. We all don't want anybody to know. We all have things in our lives that we just want to kind of keep hidden, but the reality is that things grow in the dark. Did you hear what I'm saying? Things grow in the dark. Have you ever been out in your garage and maybe you start smelling something and you look around and you're like, "What is that?" And you go and you find what? You find a dark corner where nothing's happening except there's a little water leak and there's mildew growing. Why? Because it grows in the dark. Just like sin and other things in our lives and our spiritual lives, it happens in the dark where nobody knows and it's not seen. And so when we get transparent, when we open up, all we're doing is allowing God's light to shine in, and things that are not supposed to live in the light. Right? The darkness flees, the Bible says. Have you ever lit a candle in a dark room all by yourself? Have you ever done that? Isn't it amazing how much light just a candle will give off in a dark room? The Bible says that as God's light shines in on us, it illuminates the darkness. And the darkness can't stand in the presence of light, it flees. And so as we open up, as we get accountable with people in our lives, then what we're actually allowing is we're allowing God's light to shine in on our problems and our situations, and we're allowing God's light to filter in and chase away the darkness. And I want to challenge you. Maybe it's something that's hard for you. I remember the very first time that I got into an accountable relationship with a couple of guys, and I sat down at the table across from a couple of other ministers. And we all kind of looked at each other, and, you know, we just kind of sat there, and finally one of the guys is like, "All right, who's going to be first?" And I said, "You know what this is all about, guys?" And this is specifically talking to our men. Sometimes ladies find it easier to share a little bit. But for the guys who just looked around, I said, "You know what, it's time to put your dagger on the table." It's time to put your dagger on the table. And what did I mean by that? If we all put our dagger on the table, if we all put it out there, then we all had the same amount of junk on each other and there was no more backstabbing going to happen. We had to get comfortable with the fact that we all were about to put our dagger on the table and about to share what was happening in our lives so that any one of those people could have used that. But guess what? I can use your knife on you. And so we have to get into a relationship and be transparent and say, look, I'm going to lay it on the table. Are you willing to do that? And if you can't get in that kind of a relationship, then don't share your junk. Guard your heart. You're not supposed to just share your burdens and your stuff with every single person that comes along, right? You're supposed to be selective about who you open up to and who you're transparent with. But if we're not getting transparent, we're not getting better. That's just the reality. Number two in your notes, if you want to have great relationships, you've got to get alone. You have to get alone. And you say, well, wait a minute, that's kind of counterintuitive. If you're trying to work on a relationship, wouldn't you want to be with that person? Well, you do, but if you're not working on that relationship alone before you're with that person, then you're missing a really crucial component. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. It says, but when you pray, go into your inner room and close the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you, and some translations say will reward you openly. See, we've got to do some work on our relationships with just us and God. We've got to get alone. Jesus got alone with the Father. So many times in Scripture, the disciples would be looking for him, and they couldn't find it because he was alone. He was off praying and asking direction and the will of his Father. If Jesus needed to ask the will of the Father, there's a pretty good chance that we do too. There's a pretty good chance that we need to ask the direction and the will of the Father for our lives. Right? And so we've got to get alone, and we've got to pray about the relationships that we're in. We've got to pray for that person, but we've also got to pray for ourselves, that God will help us guard our heart. It's so true, especially in dating relationships. If you're here today, you're single, and you're maybe, you know, starting to be in a relationship with someone, I mean, the reality is if you're not spending time alone with God and continually putting that relationship at God's feet and saying, Lord, is this the direction for my life? Is this your will for my life? If we're not constantly putting our relationships before the throne of God and saying, Lord, just give me direction, give me guidance, and then actually following what he's saying to us, we're missing the component. Because the reality is we're never alone in a relationship with someone. Jacqueline and I are not just in a relationship by ourselves. We're in a relationship with God. And if God isn't always the focus and the center of our relationship, then there's going to be something that's wrong between us. Jacqueline and I actually grow closer together when we as a couple and individuals grow closer to God. And so the reality is in every relationship, and you would think, well, what about my fishing buddy? Yeah, you know what? If your fishing buddy is someone who you are trying to maybe influence and have some time with that you're trying to maybe lead them to Christ, man, you need to be praying for that person. If your fishing buddy is someone who's following Christ along with you, you know, you need to be praying for that person, asking God, how can I be an encouragement to them? So you've got to spend time alone if you're going to be able to spend time together and be productive in that relationship. Look at Psalm 119, verse 11. It says, I have treasured in my heart your word that I may not sin against you. If you don't put God's word in your heart, if you're not constantly feeding on God's word and allowing it to be what sustains you, then you're not going to have it to give away. And you think about the times in your relationships where someone has come to you and they want to open up their heart and they want to share with you, you know, what's going on in their life. And I know as a guy, sometimes it's awkward because, you know, it can happen in the most strange moments. You're just maybe kind of hanging out, talking about just any old thing, talking about the game, and all of a sudden, boom, it's like the guy just vomits all that's going on in his life. And you're like, whoa, what do I do with this, you know? And most of us guys are like, you know, we want to just put our hand on the guy's shoulder and be like, well, okay, we're sorry for you, you know? But if we are treasuring God's word, if we're hiding in his heart in those moments when someone has to just kind of divulge what's going on in their life and it's just one of those awkward, weird moments, we can look at him and say, you know what, man, let's pray about that. You know what God's word says about that? You know how much life that gives? You know how reassuring that is to that person that you can look at them and you could speak life over them? Because the Bible says that with our tongues we speak life and we speak death. And we have to choose to speak life, but if we're not feeding ourselves on God's word, if we're not filling ourselves up, then we don't have life to offer. We don't have life to speak. Because if you're being dumped on and you're being told about a situation maybe that you've never even been through yourself, how can you really speak to it unless you're speaking to it from the truth of God's word? So you got to feed on God's word, hide it in your heart. Number three, how can you have great relationships? Get spiritual. Get spiritual. Well, what do I mean by that? Well, maybe one of the problems in our relationships is that we're not spending enough time together worshiping God. Maybe we're not spending enough time together with God. God can come into every part of our lives, and he wants to be a part of all of our lives. He doesn't want to just come into your heart and your life and be a part of what happens on Sundays. And if that's how you're living for God right now, you're missing out. Because God wants to be a part of everything that we do. God wants to be a part of our friendships. He wants to be part of our marriages. He wants to be part of our dating relationships. God wants to be a part of that. And he wants to just be interactive in all those things. But we've got to really invite him in, and we've got to bring him into those places. And you say, well, Pastor Brian, the Bible says that he lives in my heart, right? He's always with me. The Bible says he'll always be with me. He'll never forsake me. That's true. But sometimes we bring God along as kind of the quiet bystander. We kind of bring him along and we just say, okay, just hang out right there, God. I'll be with you in a few minutes. I just got to enter into this relationship and I really don't want you a part of this right now, so let me just do this. And it's not that he doesn't know. It's not that we're pulling the wool over God's eyes and he's being, you know, tricked by us. But the reality is that God wants us to just say, hey, let's come together over here. Will you be in this relationship with me? Give me guidance. Give me direction. Help us as we spend time together. When was the last time that I was hanging out with some guys a couple weeks ago, and they're talking about one of the things that they like to do when they fish. They said they like to play the New Testament on a CD in their boat. They just like to sit out on the water and fish and listen to God's word. I was like, dude, that's awesome. That's like, I was like, I'm going to go get a radio for my boat. That's cool. That's a great idea. You know, how can you bring God into your relationships? How can you bring God into what you're doing? Because he wants to be there. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to breaking of bread and to prayer. There was this idea in the New Testament church that they were just constantly hanging out together. They didn't just come to church on Sunday and give each other a high five and then go home. And we do that here because we're, you know, hoping that we're going to start by getting you guys to turn around and say hello to your neighbor. Maybe you're going to meet someone that you say, hey, I kind of like you. Let's hang out sometime. Let's do something together. The reality is the New Testament church, they were always together. They didn't come to a church like this on Sunday mornings. They had church in their house, which is why we started small groups, or we call them life groups, because we want you guys to begin to learn how to do life together outside of these four walls. Because the reality is this school is not our church. You're the church. Let me say that again. This school is not our church. You're the church. And when you go outside of these four walls and you hang out together, that's the church. And that's what our desire is that you would begin to learn to do life together, learn to be transparent with each other and open up and share each other's burdens and just do life together. And so they were constantly going and hanging out. And you know what it is? Look, 2,000 years ago, every time they got together, there was food involved. I mean, they were smart, you know? I mean, you invite me over to your house, and you're like, hey, Pastor Brian, will you come over to our house? And all we want you to do is just read the Bible and pray with us. Well, okay, I'll come, you know? But if you call me up and you say, hey, I'm going to make you my mom's famous peach cobbler, and we're going to have dinner, and we're going to hang out and laugh. And then when you're there, could you just pray a blessing over our home? I'll be like, yeah, I'm coming. You know? I mean, how much better does that sound? Hang out together. Do life together. Fellowship together. You know? Be friends. And the Bible says that if you want to have friends, you must first show yourself friendly. Right? So if you want someone to invite you to their house, maybe you need to turn around and invite them to yours first. I know that's hard. Look at Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. It says, for where two or three have gathered together in my name, I am there in their midst. The reality is that every time we get together and we spend time for the purpose of connecting with God, he's there. If we want God involved in the relationship, he wants to be there. But we've got to invite him in. We've got to make it an atmosphere where God is welcome to be a part. And we try to do that in our home. When people are coming over for dinner, you can ask a lot of the people that have come over for dinner have remarked about, you know, when they come in our house, it just feels kind of peaceful in our house. We will stop everything about an hour before someone gets there and just turn on some Christian music in our house. And there's nothing magical about that, let me tell you that. But what it does is it puts us, as hosts, it puts us in a better frame of mind. It calms our kids down. You know, if our kids are crazy, and they're always crazy because they're kids, but I mean, if they're out of control, kind of like, you know, we have visitors coming, you know, we'll turn on the music, and it's like after about 15 minutes, our kids are like, hey, when are they going to be here? They're like, just calm down. Just calm down, guys, you know. But it's like we set an atmosphere in our home. If somebody's going to come over to our house, we want them to feel welcome. We want them to feel like there's a place that they can just be at peace. Just take your burdens off and just relax. And so in order to have God feel welcome in your presence, you just got to make him feel welcome. So we make it our goal. Again, every time someone's in our house to hang out with us, man, we want them to feel welcome, but we want God to feel welcome. We want God to feel like he can be there in the midst of that. So get spiritual together. Maybe consider today, the next time you go golfing with your buddy, could you just start off your round of golf by praying? It doesn't have to be like you're riding in the golf cart for the entire time being like, let's read through the book of Matthew today. It doesn't have to be weird in that way. But it could be weird in the sense you just start off by praying. Hey, you know what? Let's pray that we don't twist our backs the wrong way today. Let's pray that we have a great round of golf. Wow, what a difference. I guarantee you, your golf will be better that day. All right, number four, very important, get help. Get help. If you're in a relationship, whether it's a friend, whether it's a spouse, again, whether it's a dating thing, whatever that relationship looks like, get help. If you're going through a hard time, don't just say, well, you know, everybody goes through hard times. Yes, they do, but not everybody has the hope of Christ. Not everybody has brothers and sisters in Christ who can come alongside you and encourage you and help you. And so do what the Word of God tells us to do, which is to seek out guidance. Look at Proverbs 11, chapter 11, verse 14. It says, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in the abundance of counselors, there is victory. Right? In God's Word, it tells us, look, if you just ask for help, just ask people to enter into the relationship with you. You know, instead of, I know most of us have probably had a relationship that's kind of gone south. Maybe they let you down. Maybe they betrayed you. Maybe you felt like, I can't trust them anymore. How many times, though, when those things have happened in your life, have you said, you know what, let's get together with a mediator and work this out? How many normally do that? You don't have to raise your hand. How many normally, like, yes, let's get a mediator? Most of us are like, see ya. Don't ever call my house again. Some of us change our phone number. I mean, we're like, I don't ever want to speak to you again, you know? What if we just got someone to kind of get in the middle of that situation with us and say, hey, let's hear both sides? Because here, can I tell you, this is the greatest nugget of wisdom you'll ever hear right here. You ready? Because there's your side of the story and there's my side of the story. And in the middle is the truth. I guarantee you, every time that there's conflict in relationships, there's your side, there's their side, and in the middle is the truth. And sometimes it takes having someone stand in the middle and hear both sides to say, wait a minute, you got this all wrong. You're hearing them wrong. Wait a second, that's not what she said. Let's calm down and let's listen to what she actually said. And so we don't want to do that because what? It means we have to let our pride be kind of, we got to let it go. And we got to say, well, I'm not going to be prideful now. I'm not going to have to be right. The relationship is worth more to me than being right. And so I want to bring somebody into the middle of this. And some of you guys right now are looking at me like, Pastor B, just leave it, bro. Let it go. And I'm saying, no, we're going to keep pressing in because it's so important. It's so important that we learn how to go through some conflict. That we learn how to work through conflict, because conflict is not bad. Conflict usually brings growth. Usually it's when we go to the gym and we work out. We don't build muscle while we're going through the hard time. We go through the hard time, and then when we go home and rest and we have conflict resolution, our muscles grow. Same thing with our relationships. Our relationships grow after we go through a conflict together. And actually what happens is we actually start to trust that person more. We actually get to a place where we say, you know what, well, we've been through some hard times together, and I know that you are going to stick this out with me. I know that I can trust your heart because I know more about you when we go through hard times together. Look at Proverbs 24, verse 6. It says, "For by wise guidance you will wage war. And again, in the abundance of counselors, there is victory." Why did God say that again? Because he knows that so many of us want to do it on our own. We want to just kind of say, well, you know, I can figure it out. And God says, man, just get some help. It's so true in your marriages. If you're going through a conflict in your marriage, don't try to go that alone. Bring another friend into the situation, and not just a friend, right? But someone who you look up to and you respect and you trust their marriage, and you say, wow, you know, they have walked through some hard things. They've looked at life through the lenses of you know, conflict, and they've worked through it, you know? Jacqueline and I have had the privilege of counseling tons of couples about their marriage, and it's not because we've been married for like 30 years. We've only been married for 9 years. But it's what we've walked through already. You know, we shared with you one of the first or second weeks that we were here. When we first got married, our first year of marriage was horrendous. I have Crohn's disease. I had a massive Crohn's flare-up on our honeymoon. She got sick. You know, we walked into that. I got to the point where I was going to die. I weighed 140 pounds. You could see the bones in my face. I was gray. I was dying of Crohn's, and we couldn't find a doctor that would treat me. We couldn't find the solution, and so, you know, we got a doctor, and we started getting better, and the doctor said, you know, I'm sorry to tell you, you can't have kids. And so we walked through for almost 2 years what it meant to be told you can't have kids, and you can't even try to have kids because of the birth defects that your medicines will create. And so we walked through that, and we lived through that, and then we walked through a situation where I almost died. I flatlined on the hospital table because they found out that I had a disease called White Parkinson-Wolf disease, where I had an extra nerve ending firing my heart. I didn't even know that I had that. But apparently that was some kind of a genetic thing that was passed on to me by someone, and nobody else in my family has it, but it was hereditary, they say. And I literally flatlined. They took me in and they did a code red. I mean, you know, it was one of those, a code blue. You know, it's one of those things. Like, you see it on the TV or something, and you're like, man, that, you know, it's kind of like exciting. It pulls you in. Let me tell you, when it's you on the table, it's not exciting. It's not exciting. And like, I mean, I walked in and I remember my brother basically had to force me to go to the hospital. I was at a conference, and I started seeing triple and quadruple, and like my head was spinning, you know, and I was just like, whoa, this is crazy. And my wife said, you know, well, let's go to the doctor. I said, no. And so we went to dinner, and I was driving down the road, and there was like 15 red lights, and I was like, holy moly. I wasn't driving, thank God, right? But I went through dinner, and I sat through dinner. I was miserable, and my heart was racing, and I just felt awful. And we went back to the hotel, and I said, I think I just need a shower and to lie down. I mean, I was stubborn. And so my brother finally came up to the room, and he said, look, he said, put your shoes on. I'm taking you to the hospital. And he said, if you don't get up on your own, he said, I'm going to knock you out, and I'll take you over my shoulder. My brother's a pretty big dude. I was like, all right, I'll put my shoes on. And so we went to the doctor, and as they triaged me, it went from that, you know, like they're checking you out to like, this is a big deal. And all of a sudden, they're putting me in a wheelchair. I'm like, what's going on? And they're wheeling me in, and like they get in there, and there's like 10 doctors. And I'm like, oh, man, this is not good. You know, this is not good. When there's 10 doctors in the room, and you just got there, it ain't good, you know? My pulse was 230 beats a minute. They couldn't find a blood pressure. And there was nothing wrong with my heart. I've had all kinds of tests done since then. You know, my heart's fine. But I had this extra nerve ending, and I didn't even know about it. And so I'm laying there, and Jacqueline's there, and everything was fine for me because Jacqueline was there. You know, she was there, and she was kind of rubbing my foot at the end of the bed. And it's like, you're okay, it's all right. And the doctor's telling me, well, we're going to try this drug, and try this drug, and nothing happens. So we're going to try this drug, and nothing happens. It actually made me feel worse. I was like, oh, don't do that again, you know. And they tried three or four different medications, and nothing was working. And finally said, we're going to have to cardioavert you. And I'm like, okay, that sounds fine. I don't know what that means. you know? And he says, here, you got to sign this waiver. So I'm like this, and I'm seeing like, you know, I can't even see the paper, and I'm trying to sign my name, and I finally sign it. And I'm still okay because Jacqueline's there. And then it happened. They said, ma'am, you have to leave the room now. And that's when the weight of that hit me, and I said, I'm going to never see her again. And I was devastated. I started hyperventilating. The doctor was like, man, calm down. I was like, you know, she left. And they actually had to cardiovert me, if you don't know what that means, to shock me back into rhythm. They had to shock me 3 times. First time, nothing happened. The second time, I flatlined. I was gone. I got the little EKG paper. I used to carry it in my wallet everywhere. And the third time, they got me back into a normal rhythm. Yeah. But you know, the amazing thing about that is I just needed to go get help. My life was in the balance, and I was being stubborn. I didn't want anybody to tell me something was wrong. I didn't want to hear any more bad news about my life. But sometimes we just have to walk through those bad times in order to see it's okay to invite help in. It's okay to invite help in. And so Jacqueline and I have, you know, we walked through that. That was just the first year and a half of our marriage. You know, so now it's like when people come to us and share what's going on in their lives, there's lots of times when Jacqueline and I, we're, you know, we encourage them, we pray for them. When they leave, we're like, they're going to be great. They're going to be fine. You know, because we know if you can bring help into your situation, if you're willing to just be transparent and open and let God into your situation and your relationships, you're going to be fine. Because that's where God can heal relationships. And then the last one, this is for married couples only. Very important for married couples only. Get intimate. Be intimate. You know, so many times in our marriage relationships, when we're going through hard times, either personally or together, we want to just avoid each other. We just want to say, you know, get away, I need my space. That's the worst thing that you can do, is get your space. Because so many times it's in that space that we start to drift apart. And God says, look, I didn't make you to be apart. I made you to be together. The Bible says that when we become married, we become one flesh. And we're together. And through our relationships, we have to be intimate. Look at Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15 to 16. It says, do you not know the saying, drink from your own rain barrel? Draw water from your own spring-fed well? It's true. Otherwise, you may one day come home and find your barrel empty and your well polluted. The Proverbs writer there, he just says, look, you better take care of what's yours. Don't neglect what's yours. Spend time with what is yours. Work on what is yours. Proverbs 5, going on just a little bit further, 18 and 19, it says, enjoy the wife you were married to as a young man. Lovely as an angel, beautiful as a rose. Never, ever quit taking delight in her body. Never take her love for granted. God is so clear. If you're married, you need to be intimate. You need to get with your spouse. And you need to work through your problems. And you need to talk about them. And if you need to, you need to get help. And don't keep people out of that relationship because you don't want them to know what's going on. Can I just tell you, if we would just get open and honest and we just look around the room, there's probably not anything in this room that most of us haven't dealt with. Just being honest. Most of us in this room have had the same struggles. We have fights about money. We have fights about how to raise the kids. We have fights about, you know, who gets to drive. We have, you know, we do. We have all the same struggles and arguments and frustrations. But you know who wins? Those things are the people who say, you know what, we can't do this alone. We can't work on this relationship, just the two of us, because we're not seeing clearly. So many times in our relationships, whether it's a marriage, again, whether it's dating, whether it's just a friendship, you know, when the other person betrays us or lets us down or we feel somehow like they didn't do what they said they would do, you know, when they come to us and try to reconcile or try to put it back together or fix it, we don't even want to hear what they're trying to say. That's where God says, look, you've got to be transparent. You've got to open up. You've got to share your feelings. But sometimes you've got to do it with some help. Sometimes you've got to ask that third person to come along and hear the story. And you need to get spiritual. And I want to challenge you. Think about your relationships right now. Just if you want to close your eyes, you can close your eyes. But just think real quick about some of the relationships in your life. Maybe, again, maybe it's a marriage. Maybe it's a person you're dating. Maybe it's just a friend. Think about the relationships in your life. What are some ways that you can get more spiritual in those relationships? If you say, well, I'm dating someone and they're not saved, are you really praying for them? Are you spending time praying for them? Are you earnestly seeking God for them? Maybe some of you in this room today are going to need to cut out some relationships, because the reality is they're full of weeds, and you've tried. You've been on the side of the fence, and you've tried to pull the weeds, and you've tried to do some work, and you've tried to get that relationship moving in the right direction, but every time you get over there, it seems like the weeds start to choke you. It seems like your life starts to move in the wrong direction. Maybe it's time to sever that relationship. It's never easy, but can I tell you that God will reward you and bless you, and He'll give you back what you feel like you're losing in that? Because it's never God's desire to just take away from us and punish us. The Bible says that it's God's great pleasure to give us the desires of our heart. So God will never ask us to sacrifice something on the altar that He doesn't already have a new thing right in its place. So I want to challenge you today in your relationships. What would it look like for you to put them in God's hands, to invite God into your relationships, and to begin to have some great relationships, because they don't happen on accident, they happen on purpose. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You today, God, for this opportunity we've had to just share what it means to have great relationships. We're so thankful, Lord, that You've given us Your word and that You've given us this example, God, that we can look to and we can trust what it says. God, so many times it's hard for us, though, to really let You into those situations. Sometimes it's hard to let other people in. Sometimes it's hard to be transparent because we feel like we have so much to hide. But can I just encourage you, church, this morning, with your eyes closed and your heads bowed? The Bible says there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. If you've asked Christ into your heart and you're struggling in an area of your life, there's no condemnation. He's already forgiven you, and He's just asking you to be open about it and let His light in and let someone else know what you're struggling with so that you don't have to do it alone. And can I tell you how much freedom there is in that? To know that someone else is carrying your burden with you and you're not alone? Wow. The most freeing thing of my entire life was when I put it all on the table with some guys that I trusted. And I want to challenge you to do that this week. Father, I pray that You would give them strength, Lord, to be transparent, to open up in relationships. Help us, God, to trust You, to get help. We thank You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Do me a favor. Take out your connection card. It's a little black card, hopefully, that you got as you came in. And I want to ask you to do a couple favors. If you have a prayer request or a need, please write it on there. We love getting those. We pray for them every week. You can mark it either confidential. That means that pretty much I'm the only one that'll see it, other than our secretary who helps get that stuff in the computer. Other than that, if you want it to be for the prayer team, then we'll actually send it out in an email to everybody on the prayer team. And those are people that I have chosen. It's not a random deal. You know, it's very private. So we'd love to pray for you if you have any needs. If you're a visitor today, a first, second, or third time visitor, we're going to ask you to take that card in just a minute. And when you leave, walk out to the table and give it to the lady out there. We have a gift for you. If you're a first, second, or third time visitor, we have a gift for you today. And so that's all we're going to ask from you today if you're visiting, all right? This one is on us, and we're not going to ask anything from you. But if you're a regular attender, go ahead and fill out that connection card and put it in the offering that's about to come in just a minute. And let us know. And again, sign up for Growth Track tonight, or sign up for baptism. Anything that you want to sign up for, you can do it on that card as well. All right, we're going to pray for the offering. This is your opportunity to give if you are a regular attender. And just want to encourage you, you know, every time that you give, you're sowing seeds into this body, but you're also sowing seeds into the community. Something really cool, while we were at the conference, we met another church planting couple that's launching in September. Same just like we did. They're building their launch team. They just had one of their first launch team meetings the other night, had 15 people come to their house. And I met them and heard their story and decided that as a church plant ourselves, we're going to help sponsor them. We're actually going to have them in to speak in a few weeks, and we're going to bless them. And so when you give your money, you make us have the opportunity to be able to bless other church plants. Isn't that amazing? A 13-week-old church plant is going to bless another church plant as they get started, and it's because of your generosity, and I just want to encourage you with that. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the offering that we're about to receive. We pray that you would take it and do with it what you would, and God, that you would just bless it. God, use it for your glory and for your kingdom. In Christ's name, we pray. Amen. Ushers, if you want to go ahead and take up the offering, you can do that. We're going to sing one more song, and we want to encourage you, if you'd like to worship with us, you can do that. If not, you're dismissed. We love you. We appreciate you. We thank you so much for coming to Awaken this week. We hope to see you either tonight or next week. Amen? Go with God.
We stand and lift up our hands for the joy of the Lord. Our strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. But together we sing. Everyone sings.
Love you guys. Thank you so much for being here today. You're dismissed. Go with God. He's going with you. Amen.
No, I have it right out here. I'll just go grab it real quick.